Begin our day by bowing our heads and our hearts before our great God to seek His blessing. Our Father, we thank You that we could gather here. It is by Your grace, and may it all be for Your glory. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Proverbs that are such plain speech to us that are slow in understanding far too often. Thank You for the clarity of Your Word, and may You illuminate it this morning. May You teach us. May You bless Your people. May You encourage and admonish whatever needs done. May You use Your Word to do Your work. Be with those who are yet traveling. May they have peaceful and safe drives. And may we all gather in a short time to worship You. Be with us now in all that we do today. Bless it, Father, from beginning to end. For Christ's sake, amen. Last week we introduced our topic that was the topic of flattery under the broader heading of honesty versus dishonesty. Of course, flattery is a form of lying or a form of dishonesty. Even if the truth is technically stated, it's stated connivingly. It's stated with an evil heart. We must look behind the words spoken just as we don't know what's behind this curtain unless you were here and closed it this morning. We know that there's a stage back there. But you don't know if I came early and put something back there or stood it up behind the stage. You really don't know what's behind that curtain unless you do what? Go back and look. Unless you were here early. Now, it's very similar with flattery because unless you pull back the curtain, you don't really know at face value what's going on. You're not really sure if this speech is flattery or not, unless you take the scripture and discern and look behind the curtain. It may look normal, it may sound normal, but really behind the curtain it could be evil. And of course, by the scripture we lift the curtain and we discern what is honesty and what is dishonesty. Is this person giving me a genuine compliment, or do they have a motive behind it? Are they trying to get something by the compliments they're paying me? Now, just a quick review of last week. We spent most all of our time looking at Proverbs 25:18, which I trust you've appreciated the plainness of Scripture. Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. This false witness uses his tongue like a weapon, inflicting pain or death upon his neighbor. We called it character assassination. These people are violent, brutal, and militaristic by the weapon of flattery. We looked at these weapons, the club, the sword, the arrow, and we considered that great quote by George Lawson, "Would you not shrink with horror at the thought of beating out your neighbor's brains with a hammer, or piercing his heart with a sword or a sharp arrow? Why then do you indulge yourselves in a piece of like barbarity, destroying as far as you can that reputation which is dear to men as their very lives?" And this passage clearly taught that if we bear false witness, it's beating out our neighbor's brains figuratively. And we called this speech dragon speech, going on Psalm 57:4, like those who breathe forth fire. Dragonese or dragon speech. They are speaking not only gossip, but we called it gossip on steroids. They are speaking vicious words to destroy their neighbor. Again, it's their neighbor. We're going to look at this again today. Someone we expected them to be gracious to, but they are not neighborly. They are evil. Of course, love does no wrong to a neighbor. And then we introduced this topic of flattery in Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. I felt we sort of rushed through this, and I'm glad today that we'll wrap up our study on flattery. But we noted that liars and flatterers are from the same family. We have them in the same verse. Lying tongue and a flattering mouth. A flattering mouth. We considered that it's flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Jude verse 16. And of course, we know that preachers likewise can flatter. And this was the challenge to those of us who teach or preach. Paul refers to those people in Romans 16:18. We didn't read this last time, but Paul said, describing these flattering preachers, For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. If you're unsuspecting, you're going to get tripped up by the smooth talk of flatterers. And you could look at 1 Thessalonians 2:5. Paul did not come with a flattering mouth. He spoke the word of God in truth. Well, this flattering mouth worked ruin. It destroyed its hearers. This flattery was a trap. It destroyed them. It was destructive. And then we'll come to our new material now, and that would be Proverbs 28, verse 18. If you'd like to follow along. 25:18. Well, that's not the right one. Excuse me. That's what happens when you review old notes. 29:5. Proverbs 29 and verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Well, we could summarize this verse by saying flattery is a trap set, and listening to flattery is a trap sprung. If you've ever set traps or you've seen a trap, a mouse trap, you set the trap and you pull back that lever and the trap is set and something is keeping it from closing. And what happens when you put a stick or an animal steps its foot in that trap? It snaps. If you listen to flattery and take it in, you're like the one who springs the trap. And here the trap is a net. This word, flatters, its root meaning is to be smooth or slippery. What happens if you walk on a slippery floor? You fall down. This mouth is getting ready to trip you up by smooth and slippery words. He's the proverbial smooth talker. He's a smooth talker. Flatters or flattering, these words are used to describe the adulteress who flattered her victims. Bad company here. The flatterer is among the adulterers, adulteresses. And the one who also brings grief by flattering, 28:23, as well as those who, in a previous passage, work ruin. Now let's remind ourselves something about flattery. To flatter is to lie about a person's strength. To lie about a person's strength, or to tell the truth about them from a lying heart. A flatterer may tell the truth, but they're doing it from deception, from a lying heart. That's what a flatterer does. The word, said Toy, suggests guile, cunning deception, or seduction, or malice. These words that there's a conniving, a sneakiness about their speech. They're sneaking up on you, getting ready to set a trap for you by their speech. Smooth and slippery. It was interesting that some of you I know have the Noah Webster, the original 1828 dictionary. I love that dictionary. And I love that he quotes Scripture. And guess what verse he has under flatter? He has our verse, 29:5. He puts it right there in our dictionary. I love it. And it's fascinating to think about the implications of words and where the descriptions of words come from, at least from Noah Webster, the Scripture. That's where he went for his definitions. Fascinating. You can go home and read that if you have it. Now, a parallel verse which opens up this flattering is in Psalm 5:9, where he is describing the wicked men. He says, there's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue, or they make literally their tongue smooth. Now imagine that, an open grave. And I was thinking about this, and there's debate. It could mean that if you're walking in a graveyard and there's an open grave, what will happen? You fall in it. Or it could mean something like this, that the grave is opened up and it's putrid. It's nauseating. It's disgusting. I think either one fits this flatterer, but maybe the first made more sense. They are so wicked. This description, their inward part is destruction itself. What vivid pictures. And you can look at Psalm 12:2 as well. One author said, a sycophant is not to be trusted, for words which are too smooth and too obviously designed to gratify are a form of premeditated malice, and a cloak for evil conduct. And if you're not familiar with sycophant, I had to look it up. I had an idea, but it was wrong. Sycophant is a servile flatterer, a fawning parasite, someone that attaches themselves to you, but they are evil. They're malicious in their plans. Turn over to Proverbs 26. We have a little fuller picture of this type of person, the flatterer. Several verses on the tongue. Proverbs 26, we'll read 24 to the end, concluding with the verse we looked at last time. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit, where? In his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, the consequence, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him, maybe a stone to collapse on someone. 28, our verse from last week, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Particularly notice verse 5 again. He who speaks graciously, do not believe him. He's evil. It doesn't mean you don't listen to anyone who's gracious. We looked at the godly woman. A gracious woman attains honor. So it's not forbidding gracious speech. It's the man who needs to be discerned, who has a disguise on. He's wearing a disguise to hide. You think he's your friend. That's why we got to look deeper. We got to go around back and look behind the curtain to see what type of character this is. The flatterer. Well, again, his object, a man who flatters who? His neighbor. And I think it's profound as, again, it's not the enemy. It's his neighbor. It's his neighbor he's flattering. We would expect to find kindness, but instead we find killing. It's a profound shock that this guy, who you would expect to be kind and gracious, is ready to kill. The Proverbs alarm us. The Word of God alarms us. Again, the psalmist faced this regularly in his experience. He says in Psalm 55:21, his speech was smoother than butter. It's like you put some butter in the microwave or you leave it out on a hot day, and what happens? It becomes so smooth. It's not frozen butter. It's melted, gooey butter that is smooth. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. He had this smooth speech, but in his heart he was at war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. And kids, remember what swords were for? Not for show. For killing. He sounds real smooth. He sounds real slick. But his tongue is like a drawn sword ready to slice and dice you, the receiver of his flattery, his smooth, butter-like speech. Now, who's an example of this? Maybe you've already thought of him in the New Testament. Who flattered with a kiss? Of course, that would be the flattering kiss of Judas. That's right. Judas. And listen to Mark's words as he describes this. Now, Judas, who was betraying Jesus, had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And after coming, he immediately went to him, saying, "Rabbi!" And he kissed him. And they laid hands on Jesus and seized him. This is a person who flattered not only his neighbor, but his Lord God, and yet spread a net for his steps. A kiss. And I thought about maybe in our context, it's a handshake. If you're in Egypt, it's a kiss on both cheeks, men to men. But he went and it's interesting, the New American Standard has an exclamation after Rabbi, like, "Rabbi, it's great to see you, Lord." He kissed him, and Jesus was taken away and later killed. He is the epitome of a flatterer. The flattering kiss, the flattering tongue, the flattering handshake. Maybe it's a pat on the back, but behind it, there's deception. We need to look behind the curtain and see the heart of this flatterer. That was in Mark 14, 44 through 46. Well, he flatters his neighbor with what? Or how is he doing it? It's as if he is spreading a net for his steps. Flattering lips may be fatal lips. fatal. They're hazardous to your health. Just because it sounds good does not mean that it is good. All that glitters is not gold. See, this is why we need wisdom. Children need wisdom to discern your friends or people, what they're telling you. Young people, young men, young women. Flatterers can trip you up. That's what the Bible is teaching here. They can fool you. And it's as if they're laying a net. Kids, what is a net used for? Trapping? Catching? Anything else? Catching or capturing animals. And do they just catch and release like some fishing regulations? What do you do after you catch something? Before you eat it, you have to kill it. This net is a killing device. They would catch it in the net. In the Hebrews, they would use nets to catch fish or birds or even larger animals. And after they caught it, they would kill it. That's what the picture is here. This is a death trap. It is catch and kill, not catch and release. Again, at face value, flattery does not seem to be perilous. Remember, those, it's the easiest lie to believe. You're such a nice person. You're such a great guy. Oh, that was just wonderful what you did. Beware. Look behind the curtain of those flattering words. Let the searchlight of Scripture reveal the evil of this type of flattery. Listen to Bridges again. We read this last week. And again, if you want to study the Proverbs, there's two of the best commentaries. One is easy to get online, Matthew Henry. And the second is Charles Bridges. Every person here, we should make it a requirement. New members, you have to buy Charles. Maybe we should give it to everyone. Go buy, save up your coins, and buy Charles Bridges. Every young person should have a copy when they go out into the world. I mean this. I'm serious. That book is wonderful. It's in my top couple. And there's, if you read him, the great Anglican preacher, Charles Bridges, you will profit. Listen to his penetrating explanation. We read it last time. From some favorable position, the flatterer presents an attractive face. But a nearer view behind the curtain shows him a subtle, murderous enemy, working ruin. The sweet song of our own praise lulls us to sleep. And in the moment of security, the net is too successfully spread. It's like that animal that sees some food, or the fish that sees something in the net and it goes over and it's just enjoying the food. And what happens? The net traps them. They're captured. The smooth speech is just long. It sounds so good. Keep rubbing my back. That feels nice. Beware. The Scripture is plain. I was going to bring it. My wife recommended not. I was going to bring and play the, I put it on Facebook, air raid sirens in World War II. You know those, you've all heard them. Well, I won't go further. But a verse like this is an air raid siren. If you see the flatterer coming, if you detect some insincerity, some guile, turn around and walk away. Close your ears, close your heart. Don't receive it. They're laying the net. Don't get lulled to sleep and be swept up in that net. Don't do it. They sound, these verses, the whole Word of God sounds an alarm. Kids, it's even, you understood these weapons, these nets. They're alarms. Beware. Maybe you don't even get it, but put in your brain that beware of flatterers. That's what this verse teaches us. Watch your steps. The Proverbs are loaded with warning signs, danger signals, and hazard symbols. They call us to be careful. Like the bright signs, if you're coming off the highway, maybe you see an on-ramp and there's flashing lights or a bright sign, wrong way, do not enter. What happens if you go down the wrong way? If it's an off-ramp and you're going on it, what's going to happen? Crash! You're going to get killed probably. That's what these Proverbs show us. If you listen to a flatterer, maybe it's a young man, maybe it's a girl saying, oh, you're so handsome. She has deception in her heart. Not necessarily, but it may be. Beware, be alert to the flatterer. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, you may remember, those shepherds named Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere. the four shepherds, they were giving many warnings, and they told Hopeful and Christian, beware of the flatterer. The Word of God says, beware of the flatterer. This is not something we normally think about. Lord, deliver me from flatterers today. We might not even have that word in our vocabulary, but the Scripture calls us to put it there. To put this verse in our 1828 Webster's Dictionary, to make it our own. It's something to be alert to. It's a real danger. It's not pretend. It's not make-believe. This is a real danger, just as that net is real for the fowler. Now, as an aside here, I thought there's a hermeneutical lesson. And you know that I like the hermeneutical method called grammatical, historical, theological. Well, I propose a fourth. I know it's bold. All the great theologians and those doctors in hermeneutics, they've come up with these, and I embrace it. But I have a fourth, exclamational. And I am more and more struck with the exclamational character of Scripture. Scripture does not allow us just to read, oh, there's a flatterer who catches in a net. There's an exclamation point. I almost find them in every verse from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Exclamation. If we read the Bible in a non-exclamational way, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when it says, beware of the flatterer? Okay. If we don't hear it with an exclamation point, we're probably not going to worry. If we don't see the flashing hazard signs, be careful and apply this throughout the Word of God. When we're warned against sin, there's an exclamation point at the end. And if we don't read the Bible in this light, I think we're not going to take it serious. If Jesus and then the apostles preach to us, at the end of most of their proclamations, they have an exclamation point. And sometimes I read the Bible and I'm not sure, surely it's something to do with the grammar, but many times I'll write in my own exclamation point. Maybe you can join me. We'll have the exclamation club. And we'll fill our Bibles with exclamation points. Isn't it true? The Bible doesn't just have imperatives. The Bible has exclamatory statements continuously. Think about it. I'll challenge us and myself to read the Bible more exclamationally. That's a word. Okay, then back to our text. Consider that. Let me know your feedback. Now this sin is exposed. It was sin concealed, but here it's exposed by the truth. It is cleverly camouflaged, but the Word of God exposes it. It's like a soldier down in the weeds and he's camouflaged. But the light of Scripture makes him stand out in bright orange. Now, one other question. What about flattering ourselves? This is something to think about. And there's a psalm that refers to the man who flatters himself by the discovery of sin. It's easy to slip into self-flattery. And again, listen to a commentator, George Lawson, a Scotsman I've really grown to love as well. He says it well. We all flatter ourselves. Isn't that true? We all flatter ourselves. And our self-flattery makes the praises of other flatterers welcome. And these gratify and feed our pride so that we are in double danger of falling into the condemnation of the devil, the chief flatterer, really. Men are like silly birds when they are caught in this net. And they are sillier than birds when, after all, they make the flatterer welcome to their houses and his fair words welcome to their ears. If we're continually flattering ourselves, and I'm a pretty good guy. I know a lot of theology. I live a pretty good life. I'm a good husband, a good father, a good church attender, thinking highly of ourselves. Flattering, self-flattery. And when someone else comes along and agrees with your self-flattery, well, it's two witnesses confirmed it, right? My own and someone else. So let us beware of self-flattery, of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Usually we should think, what of ourselves? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. We need to think lowly of ourselves. We're only unprofitable servants. We've only done our duty. Children, I know you. Some of this might have went over your head, but what is the warning of this proverb? I'll read it again. A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Children, who can answer me? And in just a few words, what this verse means. Who's going to be brave? Back row? Wake up! Okay, adults, who wants to summarize this verse in one sentence? Who's going to be brave? You don't have the mic, so... Nobody? Pardon? In a sentence. Do you have a sentence? How about this? Beware of flatterers, they will trap you. Beware of flatterers, they will trap you. Again, the kids got it. If you speak so kindly, if you flatter someone, they're just laying a trap. Beware. We've heard the exclamation, we've heard the warning. And now, by the grace of God, may we go forth, even this day, not be flatterers and not listen to flatterers. Well, that's the end of my notes here. Do you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make? Yes, sweetie.
There is a fine line between an honest compliment and flattery. How can we distinguish between that? Because if you don't compliment and praise somebody, then you really no explanation in your life. You're playing. But if you don't compliment, how can you give it honestly and you and the receiver
can tell the difference? Right. The question is, if you give a compliment, how do you know if it's flattery or not? And really, I think the question to ask, is there something in it for me? If you give a compliment and you want to feel good about it and you want them to say, thank you so much, that's the kindest word. If you're looking for a compliment back, if you're looking for something from them, then you have went into flattery. Again, we want to be those who encourage, who compliment, who say words to lift others up. Absolutely. But if we're saying those words to get something back for ourselves, then we've entered into flattery. So really, it's what do you want out of it? If it all terminates on the person, then that's great. But if you want it to boomerang back to yourself in some way, then we've entered into flattery. Good question. Yes, Janet. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this flattery comes from the heart. We have to be alert. And I think there's a study or a discussion we could have that you might even flatter unintentionally. If you speak over the top, if you say more, if you describe a person as way better than they actually are, then you've probably slipped into flattery as well. Even if we need to speak the truth. We need to be honest when we speak to others. So definitely it comes from the heart. And again, there's a balance here. All of a sudden, we're not going to give any encouragement because we're worried about flattering. Well, that's not what we want to do. We do want to check our hearts. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. That's right. Check our hearts. That's exactly whether we're maybe doing it or hearing it. Check our hearts. And that's where we got to pull back the curtain and use the scripture to say, be careful, beware when you receive compliments. Just beware, think about it for a second. Maybe it's a coworker, someone, a good friend. Maybe it's on Facebook. It may come in any form. Beware of the flatter. Check their heart, if you will, and check your own. That's right. Right. Yes. Right. Right. It's like a used car salesman. I mean, if we're like that, or someone's coming to us and it just sounds a little too good to be true. Yes, that's right. That's a good. They're the quintessential flatterers, the used car salesman. That's right. And they'll get you to buy a lemon because you'll feel so good about yourself and about them and the car. Good example. Anything else? Okay. Well, let's read the Bible in an exclamational fashion. Join me in that desire. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that your word is clear, that it grabs and demands our attention by such practical examples. Father, may we remember them in the day of flattery. May we expose it and turn our ear away. May we not be tripped up to get into a net, Lord. Deliver our young men, our young ladies, our children from having friends who would flatter them and lead them into the net. Oh God, we are aware based on your word, that flattery is a real sin and a real threat. May you put the exclamation point upon it and apply it as needed. For Christ's sake, amen.